Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Get updates and show information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Your host is former Command Senior Enlisted Leader for the Minnesota National Guard, retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham, and today it's a legislative show where we're going to meet the Director of Government Affairs at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and we're going to speak with the Chair of the Veterans and Military Affairs Committee. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
A little more than 100 years ago in the blowing sands of the New Mexico desert, the Army formed a unit now known as our 34th Red Bull Infantry Division. Initially called the Sandstorm Division, it was during World War II the division earned its current name and its current motto. As the 34th fought across North Africa and Italy, their enemies bemoaned that all the unrelenting Red Bulls would do was attack, then attack, and attack. Today, proud Red Bulls across our state and nation carry on their legacy earned by our veterans that fought tirelessly during World War II, Iraq, and Afghanistan. To those who have served and those that wear the Red Bull patch today, I thank you for your dedication, your sacrifice, and your service. Red Bulls, attack, attack, attack!
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. John Kelly is an Army veteran who served in both the Army National Guard and Army Reserves. During his service, he was deployed to Afghanistan, and he was on the Afghan National Army Embedded Training Team in support of Operation Enduring Freedom. John joined the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs in the fall of 2024 to serve as the Director of Government Affairs. In this role, he's responsible for government relations, policy initiatives, oversight of legislative strategies, and biennial budgeting and capital investment requests. John, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Doug.
Well, it's good to have you, and thank you for your service. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
So the last time that you were here for the show, you were in the observer's role. You kind of sat in the corner. It was then that the outgoing government affairs director, Ben Johnson, was here kind of doing his last show in that capacity as he had gotten promoted to a deputy commissioner role. So here you are a few months later. You've had the opportunity to kind of settle in.
Sure.
And really get into the role. And this is all you now. You to talk about great governmental affairs and legislative stuff going on for the MDVA.
Yeah, no, it's been an awesome transition, especially as a veteran, getting to work with fellow veterans every day and then working on behalf of Minnesota's veterans and families. It's just been every day just really fun. And now we're rocking and rolling here at the legislature. It's starting to move, and we are seeing our bills start to be introduced, and we're getting ready to start pushing forward for the biennial budget for the department, and as well as the capital budget for the department. So we're busy.
Now, the role that you have, this isn't something that's new to you. You have a history of supporting government affairs types of initiatives, legislative initiatives. Why don't you tell us just a little bit about your background and kind of the things you were doing that now prepared you to come into this role?
Sure. Yeah. So I had the good sense to marry a Minnesotan, but I'm not a Minnesotan. I'm a New Yorker. I'm from upstate New York. So I served in the New York Army National Guard in the 27th Brigade Combat Team for most of my time there. I started out, I went to grad school in New York, and I worked for a member of the New York State Assembly. That's their version of the House of Representatives in New York. And then I took a job and moved to Minnesota about 9 years ago to work as the government affairs liaison for the Minnesota Department of Commerce. And I was there for about 4.5 years in that role. Then I moved over and I served as a policy advisor and then senior policy advisor to Governor Walz and Lieutenant Governor Flanagan during the first term, the governor's first term. And I covered veterans affairs, I covered bonding, I covered economic development and the jobs portfolio, as they call it, which included commerce, where I had previously worked. And then I had the opportunity to come back to Commerce, and I worked there for nearly 3 years as the Director of Government Affairs before coming over to MDVA. So advancing agency policy and budget items is something that I've been on the front lines of, for lack of better words, since 2016, and it's been really cool to see the different you know, changes and what's the big thing during each session. And usually there's a big thing. And so, you know, we're, you know, working on various issues and, you know, commerce regulates energy and banking and everything from bullion coin dealers to real estate agents. So there's never, it was always kind of changing. The work was always changing, but the work is, you know, really, really guided by, you know, kind of from the governor's office, from the commissioners, and then also from, you know, the public and, you know, the constituents and the legislators that all come in. So it's a lot of kind of, you know, harnessing the activism and passion that people have for the issues and then, you know, trying to turn that into action and policy. So it's been really rewarding experience these last nearly 9 years working in Minnesota.
And it's kind of interesting that, you know, as a New Yorker, that you're first job back here in Minnesota is working for the state government. So that's kind of neat.
Yep.
But a lot of great experience that you're able to bring to the team. And obviously coming into the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, you've got a really good set of tools in your tool bag, so to speak. And so as you've been able to kind of, you know, settle in and really analyze the agency, you know, it's not like it's all new stuff because, you know, I know you've had interaction with, you know, other members of the agency like Ben in the past, right? Because you're doing all this legislative stuff. But what are kind of your initial thoughts as you've come into this role and, you know, you're dealing now really with things that are impacting our veterans? And, you know, what do you see and what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, you know, the reality is that, you know, this session and for the next biennium, at least, we have divided government and many voices at the table representing a wide variety of lived experiences. Individuals are looking at issues through different lenses, and this is happening around our country, not just in Minnesota. So, you know, the good news is, you know, Minnesota's elected officials have demonstrated through any kind of, you know, breakdown of, you know, solo control over one party versus split party control of the legislature, that they care about veterans. They care about their service and sacrifice. Veterans' priority issues matter to them. And we are fortunate to have tremendous bipartisan support because it's not always the case in other states. I mean, in 2025 here, you know, in this early part of session, we're looking to build new relationships with the new leaders, grow existing relationships with longtime leaders, all who say they're prepared to move forward, you know, serving their constituents and the veterans in their district. Historically, we, you know, rely on our leaders, whether it's the governor, the commissioner, the chairs of the committees, or just, you know, legislators, and also our commander's task force and other veterans leaders across the state to, you know, talk with each other, challenge each other, and ultimately find common ground where we can unite to enact meaningful legislation that makes a positive difference in the lives of Minnesotans. I always say that, like, you know, we as a state agency, whether I was at Commerce or here at MDVA, don't have the market cornered on good ideas. I think, you know, putting a bill forward in, you know, its initial form, oftentimes, if it's done right, does not look exactly the same as it did when it was introduced, because you're taking that feedback from stakeholders, you're getting the amendments, you're working through it with the legislators, and you're getting to a product that works, it's functional for the agency or whatever group. And it's also, you know, incorporated any kind of changes that are needed, whether it's from a different agency or from the public or from the legislature.
So with all of this experience you've brought to the table, how much of a benefit has it been in your initial days with the MDVA now and obviously just the start really of the legislative session? How beneficial has your service been to understanding kind of the ins and outs of the things that the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is trying to accomplish?
Yeah, I think it's really important. You know, having that lived experience as a veteran, having served, I think it's been really, really impactful for me just to be around other veterans, on a day-to-day basis. You know, a lot of what we hear from the Commander's Task Force and others and just talking with veterans is that, you know, being a veteran, you're not always coming in contact with other veterans. It can be kind of an isolating experience, you know, going through life. And I think, like, having that lens, being with other vets, a lot of other vets that are working on behalf of veterans and their families and are very passionate and very smart about it, has just been extremely rewarding. But, like, you know, to your question, I think it does help me. I've gotten care at the VA. I have, you know, dealt with the different transitions of coming home. I have utilized tuition assistance that I earned. I've used a VA home loan for one of my, you know, two houses that I've bought in my life. I mean, I've I've used those benefits, and I feel comfortable saying, hey, you should use those benefits. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Now, maybe you weren't in tune with it as closely when you were back in New York, but I'm just wondering if you have any, you know, off-the-cuff kind of comparison of the way our veterans are cared for, because I really feel like Minnesota does a really good job of trying to care for our veterans. I'm just wondering if, in your experience, this is something where, yeah, we do it pretty darn good here.
I can't disagree with that. I mean, I love New York, and I hope they let me back in for some pizza and bagels after I say this. But like Minnesota is, you know, everybody talks about Minnesota exceptionalism, and sometimes it's really just true. I think that, you know, when you look at what the state has done, I look back to my time when I was policy advisor for Veterans Affairs, and the investment that the legislature has made in partnership with the administration. Three new veterans homes, a new veterans cemetery, Veterans Restorative Justice Act, post 9/11 bonus, you know, not just really walking the walk, all the efforts on, you know, we're one continuum of care away from, you know, functional zero for veterans homelessness. Just making that a priority is just something that I really haven't seen. And I staffed a member, you know, in the New York State Assembly who's on the Veterans Affairs Committee, but it's just Minnesota is really, really hard charging when it comes to honoring the service of its veterans and their families and making sure that, you know, they're cared for and they're getting their earned benefits. It's really been impressive.
That's awesome. Well, this is a great place to take a break. When we come back, we'll kind of talk about some of the committees and the initiatives that are going on. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham, and I've got John Kelly in the studio with me. He's the Director of Government Affairs over at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And John, before we went into the break, you were giving great kudos to Minnesota, which is nice to hear. Really confirms, you know, things that we already know, those that, you know, are lifelong Minnesotans, and then the experiences even I've had through my military. I'm just wondering, as we look ahead, you know, obviously you're with the Department of Veterans Affairs now. There are certain committees that you pay special attention to. And I'm just wondering if you can kind of talk about those committees and maybe how they're organized.
Sure. And thanks, Doug. I you know, they call it a committee of jurisdiction. So we are the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and our primary committees of jurisdiction this biennium are actually subcommittees. So we have the, you know, in the House, and you'll be hearing from Chair Bliss later today, but Veterans and Military Affairs Division is a division of the State Government Finance Committee. And then on the Senate side, there's a subcommittee on veterans that's part of the Senate Agriculture, Veterans, Broadband, and Rural Development Committee. So they're, for all intents and purposes, standalone committees. They have some, you know, they have to go up to the main committee, but, you know, they're hearing the bills, they're doing the work, they have specific targets. And from everything we've heard, the chairs are committed to doing a veterans and military omnibus bill, which is a priority for the governor, it's a priority for the commissioner, it's a priority for the veterans service organizations across the state. And it's really been something that, you know, they were talking about doing, and when I was policy advisor, it was, you know, a push, and now to see it happen a number of times, to see that omnibus bill is moving and these issues are being prioritized in their own standalone bill is really critical. And again, as I mentioned, you know, in the House, the chair is Chair Matt Bliss. There is a special election, in case folks have, you know, not been reading the newspaper. There's going to be a special election in Roseville in early March that will likely bring the House of Representatives back into a tie. And so right now, as we are sitting here talking, the Minnesota House of Representatives is organized under a GOP majority, but they also are organized under a power sharing agreement where if they go into a tie, most of the committees will become tied committees with co-chairs. And so in the, you know, likelihood that the Roseville seat, you know, is filled by a DFL member, the House Veterans and Military Affairs Division will have a co-chair, which is Jay Zhang from St. Paul. So it's going to be interesting. But I think, like, based on everything I've seen over the years with veterans issues at the Capitol, you know, even though it's organized under a GOP majority right now, the Veterans and Military Affairs Committee is extremely bipartisan. Chair Bliss is really focused on that, carrying on the legacy from Representative Jerry Newton, who's the previous chair. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, obviously it's going to change. It's going to be right now. Jay Zhang is the ranking minority member, minority party member who can't vote. He'll be able to vote and he'll be co-chairing the committee and there'll be some changes. But I think the overall spirit and approach of the committee isn't really going to change that much.
I think it's good that, you know, especially veterans issues do remain nonpartisan. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think we can all agree and it supports the mission of the MDVA, and that right. is take care of our Minnesota veterans and their dependents.
Absolutely. I mean, I going back to my time and then working in the New York State Assembly, only this past biennium was the only time in my entire career that I have worked not in divided legislature. And so I think, like, you know, finding ideas that can get bipartisan support across the board is really important to get buy-in. And that, but especially for veterans issues, I think, like, you know, this taking the politics out of it and just serving the veterans is really critical. And that seems to be the approach that the legislature has taken here in Minnesota for the last few years. And it's really great.
You mentioned the omnibus bill, and obviously the commissioner supports it. You mentioned other veteran service organizations that support it, you know, led by the commander's task force. The governor supports it. He's mentioned it many times on this show when I interviewed him in the year in review. He once again talked about that. So knowing that that is a goal to get to that again, you still have some prep work you've got to do to bring, you know, all of these initiatives forward, understand what the priorities are, talk to the governor's office, right? All those things. So what kind of preparation do you really have to do? What kind of buy-in do you have to get as you roll into, you know, this session, which is already underway?
Yeah, I always talk about it like a baseball season. And, you know, if you think about a baseball season, if you think about the legislative session and the cycle of the legislature, especially for a cabinet agency, the work, you know, it'd almost be like if immediately after the World Series, folks took a couple of days, caught their breath, and spring training started again. You know, we start working immediately almost after the legislative session ends, kind of in a dual focus. We're working on what we need to do to implement the bills and budgets that were passed, and then also looking ahead of what didn't make it, or what, you know, are we going to need to do here going forward, and what are we hearing from the, you know, various organizations and stakeholders that we engage with. And so we worked to develop budget and policy proposals throughout the summer and early fall, and received, you know, we usually receive budget and policy decisions. As a cabinet agency, the final decisions are made by the governor and lieutenant governor about what we're going to bring forward. And, you know, while it's MDVA's budget or it's MDVA's capital budget, it's the governor's recommendations. And so we kind of get the decision on the final recommendations around, you know, for policy, usually it's, you know, around Halloween or so. And then for the budget stuff, it's typically closer into the holidays or early in the year. And it depends where we are in the cycle. If it's a new governor, they have a different deadline for, you know, current governor. And, you know, there's a lot of different kind of caveats to that statement. But generally speaking, you kind of have the decisions you're going to get on what you're bringing forward for the next session before the session. And you know, given the most recent November forecast, and we're a few weeks away from the February forecast, you know, we have a pretty restrained list of budget priorities for the agency this upcoming biennium after some pretty big, you know, expenditures by the legislature on veterans affairs over the last couple of bienniums.
And I would imagine, like, you use the analogy, right, of the baseball. You can't just turn around and do it, but you're always preparing. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, obviously, as you had mentioned, you know, if people have been watching the news, we've had some uncertainty within, you know, the House in particular. But that doesn't stop what you have to do, because you got to be ready to go as soon as they quote unquote catch up, right?
Right.
Into what they should be doing, where they're at in the timeline. You've got to be ready to go to start providing the information, the briefings, and really garnering support.
Absolutely. I think, you know, the Wallace Flanagan administration has really put a big priority starting from the first term on stakeholder engagement and, you know, not having people see a bill that affects them the first time when it's introduced. So there's a lot of work that goes into, like, hey, here's what we're bringing forward, and okay, taking that feedback and everything and being ready and engaging with the legislators, you know. And I also will say, like, not only do we have to prepare and, you know, navigate the, you know, the slow start that we had, but, you know, we've had, I've been working in, you know, state government in this type of role since the end of the Dayton administration. And, you know, we had to prepare a budget not knowing who the governor was. We had who was going to be, you know, there's a lot of you have to prepare and be ready for that kind of lights on turnkey piece. And then, you know, kind of see where the chips fall on some of the other items. So, yeah,
we've got less than a minute left now. Okay. And I'm just wondering if you might be able to highlight, you know, the things that you're going to be focusing on and whether or not you think, again, I only have less than a minute, but if you think any of our federal level issues happening right now are going to have any type of an impact on us.
Yeah, really quickly. I mean, the department is looking to, you know, work with the legislature to hopefully get a couple of operating adjustments for our budget. That means some additional funding above our base budget. On the home side, we need to focus on staffing up the three new veterans homes. And then on the programs and services side, we just need an operating adjustment to kind of keep pace with operational costs, minute costs, things like that, IT stuff. And then we have some capital budget items. We're looking for asset preservation for our existing portfolio of buildings. We have over almost a half a billion dollars worth of worth of real estate that we control. And then, we're obviously looking forward to bringing forward some policy bills, including the claim predator bill. That's really important. On the federal side, the Department of Veterans Affairs has said that all 44 grant programs that they administer are not impacted by the OMB freeze or the president's executive orders. So right now the money is flowing and we're kind of continuing to just monitor that situation. But we probably got one of the most unequivocal all clears from our counterpart federal agency that anybody else did.
Yeah, and I saw a video from the secretary of the VA that reassured veterans that they're going to continue to provide the great care that our veterans have come to know and expect from our Department of Veterans Affairs. With that, I appreciate you joining us on Minnesota Military Radio. It's great, and I know we'll have you back, and we'll get some updates as the legislative season kind of winds down, and we'll let you tell us about the successes and the, oh, shucks, maybe next year type of stuff.
I hope I'm talking more about successes than oh, shucks moments. But no, thank you very much for having me, Doug. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. That's John Kelly, who is the Director of the Government Affairs over at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. And in a moment, we're going to speak to the chair of the Veterans and Military Affairs Committee. But first, we're going to get an update from the commissioner and hear the commissioner's corner. This is Commissioner Brad Lindsay from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs.
The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is honored to serve our state's veterans and their families. If you are looking for a way to support our veterans, please consider an online donation. The veterans we serve range in age from young women and men in their 20s to seniors in their 90s. They have served in World War II and the Korean War to the Vietnam War and the Global War on Terrorism. We care for and support veterans throughout their lives, from supporting their education and employment searches, assisting during challenging times, providing health care as they age, and facilitating a dignified and respectful burial at the end of life. Donations can be directed to one of the Minnesota veterans' homes, one of our state veteran cemeteries, to our programs and services division, or to a general fund. For more information, visit minnesotaveteran.org/donate. On behalf of Minnesota's veterans, thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Lindsay. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Representative Matt Bliss is a technology management professional, a business owner, a Navy veteran, and sitting representative for District 2B in the Minnesota State Legislature. In addition to serving as the chair of the Veterans and Military Affairs Committee, he sits on the committees for Judiciary, Finance, and Civil Law, as well as Public Safety, Finance, and Policy. Representative Bliss, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks. Really glad to be here.
Glad to have you here calling in. And I know that, you know, you've got stuff going on. And so we're just grateful you're able to squeeze us in and give us a few minutes of your time here today. So I want to just start off by saying a Navy veteran, thank you for your service.
I appreciate it.
I thought maybe we could just get a little bit of a background on you. We don't often have a lot of representatives or quote-unquote politicians on the show. We try to stay away from politics, but, you know, we like to hear about things that are impacting our veterans. So I'm just wondering if you might be able to kind of start about, you know, your background and then what led you to, you know, really getting into serving our state.
Sure. Well, as you said, I was in the Navy for a few years, got some training in electronics and communications, got out, got a job in the technology field, and worked for 32 years as an IT professional. During that time, I bought a small resort in northern Minnesota, and that's what I currently operate right now, other than this job. And what got me into politics was some local issues in the county that I didn't agree with that was affecting my business. So I ran for county commissioner. Unfortunately, the guy was running against retired, and another guy came in that was a very popular former sheriff. So he taught me to lose with dignity. And, he became a good friend of mine, and we talked about it, and the state rep there at that time he was a veteran, but I didn't think he was representing the area the way it should be represented, and ran and won. So that's where I got in. Veterans have always been an important part of why I'm here. Back at that time, the veterans home in Bemidji was just a pipe dream. They'd been working on it for 10 years, and it had went nowhere, and that was my number one goal when I got into the legislature, was to get a new veterans home in Bemidji. And I was able to come through with that. So that was a big one for me.
And I would imagine then, you know, obviously serving in the Navy, you are a veteran yourself. You've got that soft spot for veterans and those who serve or are currently serving. Is that kind of what was your motivation to really work towards getting on the committees that you're on?
Yeah. So yes, I served. I always tell people the closest I ever got to combat was when they ran out of donuts in the chow hall.
So, well, that's an emergency sometimes too, though.
You know, it's kind of funny, but it's kind of scary sometimes. But no, really, my family has always been military, and my dad was the first one in the Bemidji area to enlist after the bombing of Pearl Harbor. Seven of his uncles on one family, seven brothers, joined World War One. Only six came home. I have three brothers. They're all veterans. One's a Vietnam vet. One's a disabled vet. So the military has run in my family for as long as I can remember. And it's just always been part of the way I was raised. You respect the military. And the people that put their name on that line and sign up to do that, you know, that's just the way I was raised. And actually, in my high school, more people went into the military than went to college.
Oh, that's an interesting statistic. And I think that's probably kind of common, isn't it, for outstate Minnesota?
Yeah, you know, I'm from a small town in southern Minnesota, a little teeny town called Randolph, Minnesota, down by Cannon Falls, Northfield. And yeah, there's quite a heavy military representation from that area.
So as the chair of the Veterans Committee, you know, what does that mean to you? I mean, like, what is your responsibility?
So the Veterans Committee in the House of Representatives, it's a really unique committee. When we start the committee every year, we come in and I set the tone as the chair and say, this is not a partisan committee. We're here for the veterans. Well, there'll be no R's and D's in this room. And that's really, it kind of lightens up the mood a little bit. So everybody in that committee is there for the veterans. And there's no partisan. I will not allow any partisan amendments on any of the bills. I won't hear anything that's, you know, somewhat controversial in the committee. As long as it's serving the veterans. I mean, I guess what is controversial is in the eyes of the beholder, I guess. But if anything to help the veterans comes through the committee, we hear it out. We make sure our money is spent well. You know, I'm the one that says yay or nay on which bills get heard in my committee, and I'm not going to hear a bill if it has no chance to pass, or if it's you know, just a fluff bill, I won't hear it. So that's what the chairman of this committee does, and I run a fairly loose ship. You know, like I said, we're nonpartisan in that committee. I work very well with the Democrats in that committee, in that room. Sometimes it gets outside of that room, and we have a little bit different discussions. But
well,
in that room, we're nonpartisan.
We had John Kelly on the show just before you came on, who, as you know, works over at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs as their director of government. And, you know, he talked about the importance of you know, a nonpartisan approach. And it's really nice or comforting to hear that, you know, one of your rules is no R's and D's, because I think that that's important, you know, in order to keep the politics out of such an important issue.
Yeah, it is. And sometimes, you know, when you talk about frustration on getting something passed over the years, I mean, you do have to bring up, you know, who killed it. For instance, the number one priority for the veterans right now, at least from the commander's task force, is the disabled veterans homestead tax credit. It needs to be raised. It goes up to $300,000 right now for a 100% disabled vet, and that doesn't buy much of a home anymore. So we're trying to just get that raised a little bit, and believe it or not, something like that ends up being partisan. So it's frustrating when you get something that's so easy and so simple, and yet there's people out there that stand on the hose.
Yeah, and I think, you know, probably one of the big concerns is always, like, who's going to pay for it, or how are we going to pay for it? What's it really going to cost if you did raise something, you know, like that deduction?
Sure. Well, so what we're doing, we're only going from $300,000 to $400,000. And you think about that, property taxes in a county are a static number, basically. So there's a pie, and you divide it up who pays what. And right now there's a $300,000 tax credit that used to cover these homes. And with just in the past couple of years, you know, the property values have skyrocketed. So just be bringing it back to where it was pre-pandemic, basically.
Right.
So it's not that people are, you know, I think it's, what was the number, $3 to $5 a year for me on my taxes to do this.
Yeah, and I think if you start putting into that kind of perspective, it really doesn't amount to much, especially if you start comparing it to maybe some of the other things that are added in as it relates to what we pay in our taxes.
Right.
Chair, I think this is a good place. We'll take a quick break. I want to come back and just talk about 2025, looking ahead, and some of the things that you're working on right now. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We're speaking with Representative Matt Bliss. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm speaking with Representative Matt Bliss, who is the chair of the Veterans and Military Affairs Committee here at the Minnesota House. Chair, before we went into break, you know, we're talking about the advantages, of course, of having a room full of people who are there to take care of our veterans' issues, to try to leave the partisan politics behind those closed doors out in that hallway. But I'm just wondering if you might be able to talk to us a little bit about, you know, here we are. We're in the heart of it. You know, 2025 is here. You all are working hard. You know, initiatives are on the table. I'm just wondering if you might be able to tell us, really, what is the big initiative, or what are the things you're fighting for or working towards inside the Veterans Committee?
Inside the Veterans Committee, so we have a budget coming up, and the governor's put out his priorities. And usually within the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs, we generally, they run a fairly lean operation, so we don't necessarily try to cut back too much on stuff. We might look at some priorities. Right now, my vice chair, Representative Bjorn Olson, has made it clear to the MDVA that we should probably be focusing a lot more on veteran suicide right now. We've focused on veterans homelessness for quite a while, and we've made great progress, but unfortunately the veteran suicide numbers have not went down at all. So that's really, we need to really focus on that. Everybody that I know of has been affected by veteran suicide. So that's something that we really need to focus on, working with the deal with PTSD. And the governor's budget does have a big number on homelessness. And again, that's a really important issue. But I think we need to maybe move some of that money over for veteran suicide and work on that area. As far as some of the other things that we do, you know, there's other veterans places around the state where veterans can go and get treatment for PTSD, but not necessarily in a clinical environment. One of them is a place that I like to fund, which is called Camp Bliss. And it has no relationship to me whatsoever. It just happens to be the name. But what they do is they take you out in the woods and they put you in a cabin with you and your family, and then they have time where you can gather with fellow veterans with similar issues and talk, or maybe around a campfire, maybe out on a pontoon boat fishing. It's just a way to kind of relax and talk and get your therapy that you need that way. There's other ones similar to that around the state that we try to work with. And right now, one of the bills I'm carrying is when you serve, your spouse serves too, and you know, you as a veteran, you get to be buried in a state cemetery or a federal cemetery, and that's covered. But right now, we're looking at, you know, we want the spouses to be with their veterans throughout eternity or be buried next to them. So we're looking at maybe trying to cover that as well, the spousal burial fees next to their husbands. You know, the veterans groups out there, the Legions, the VFWs, rely heavily on gaming to help with their funds of running their operations. We're looking at maybe reducing the taxes on the gaming revenues and then eliminating the taxes on their business. There's all sorts of things that we're trying to help those VFWs, because we know that those VFWs are a great place for veterans to gather and talk to other fellow veterans. I know my father was a World War II vet, never talked about it, but when we got together with a buddy of mine whose dad was another World War II vet, they chatted for hours, you know, and it's just that kind of therapy that we're going to lose if we lose our VFWs and other veterans organizations.
Yeah, you know, that's a great point in that a lot of veterans, the ones that I know as well, you get around them with others that have served, and boy, the stories start. But otherwise, they stay kind of isolated. So it's great to see that support. Chair Bliss, we're running out of time here, and I just want to say thank you so much for taking a couple of minutes out of your day to spend with us here on Minnesota Military Radio, and thanks for the good work you're doing and keeping politics and partisan out of it, and doing everything you can to take care of our Minnesota veterans and their families. We really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be on. Thank you.
You bet. That was Representative Matt Bliss. Joining me on the phone is the director of the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Patrick Kelly. Director, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, Doug. Thanks for having me back.
Good to have you back. I know you've had a lot of exciting stuff going on out at the VA, and I got to speak with Melanie the last time you were scheduled to be on, and one of the things she talked about, you know, is all the great things the VA is doing, and of course the wheelchair games. And I know, Director, you want to talk a little bit more about that, because you're less than 5 months out from executing this great event.
Yeah, really, you know, one reason I want to talk about it is I think it's going to be warmer by the time the wheelchairs are
We hope so.
They're going to be in July. So maybe just a couple things, Doug, if I really appreciate your listeners' interest in this. But we, you know, we're looking for volunteers. So the games are middle of July this year. So we last sponsored in 2005. So it's been 20 years for us. And I'm going to mention a registration site for volunteers who are interested. So it's going to be www.wheelchairgames, all one word, .org. So again, www.wheelchairgames.org. And that's open now for registration, you know, for veterans who want to participate, for any volunteers. I mean, we're taking children ages 14 to 17, even younger kids if they want to be with their parent or guardian. And you know, it's guaranteed to be a great experience, not only for the participants, but for the volunteers. These are remarkable athletes and people. And so I was so inspired last year in New Orleans. So if anybody can make it or is interested, sign up to volunteer. We would love to have you be part of these wheelchair games.
I'll tell you, Director, that when I was listening to the show, as I do every week, you know, I want to listen to the show, see how we did, critique myself and our guests. My wife and I were listening, and after the segment when the wheelchair games topic was discussed, she said, "We're volunteering for that," and she said, "We're getting the whole family involved." So that's something that that we're definitely working towards. And I also hope that we're able to coordinate and potentially get Minnesota Military Radio out there. I'd love to be able to, you know, get you on the radio again, interview some of our fantastic athletes, and really showcase this big event that you're hosting here in July.
That would be a great show, Doug. I talked with a lot of those athletes last year, and they are inspiring. So we would love it if Military Radio could join us. It'd mostly be at the convention center in downtown, but it's going to be all over the Twin Cities.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I'll make sure that Austin connects with Melanie and we start making those connections and getting things lined up. Director, So other than the wheelchair games, we know that's 5 months out. You got people that you need to come in and volunteer, but you've got some things kind of in the short term or in the immediate future here coming up. And I just thought maybe I'd give you an opportunity to talk about some of these upcoming events and other things that you'd like to advertise for our Minnesota veterans and the families.
Good. Thanks. Thanks, Doug. So, you know, we do town halls throughout the state of Minnesota. On March 13th at 1100, we're going to talk to the Northern Minnesota veterans. So we have clinics up in Hibbing, Ely, and Twin Ports around the Duluth Superior area. So we do a virtual town hall. We send out a blast to all of those veterans who live up there. And it's an opportunity for us to hear from them. And we can have an opportunity to respond, you know, what's going on at the medical center, what they can anticipate going on at their local clinics. And it's just an opportunity for us to stay in touch. So that's going to be March 13th at 11 o'clock. And hope to get those Northern Minnesota veterans participating.
And then you've got a resource fair right around the corner as well.
Yeah, so that's going to be March 27th. And again, this resource fair, we have these, it'll be combined with a claims clinic and VA eligibility. The women's clinic staff are going to be down there. Fort Snelling Cemetery staff will be down there. And so it's an opportunity. We're sort of bringing together all of the main advocates to include, you know, MACV and MDVA is going to be there. So we just want veterans who are interested and available. It's going to be at the National Guard Armory in Anoka this year. So again, March 27th, 11 to 3, all kinds of people there. If veterans have any questions about eligibility or services or how to connect with homeless programs or anything else, so we'll be there for 4 hours. March 27th, 11 to 3.
Thank you so much, Director. Have a great day. Appreciate you joining us.
Thank you, Doug.
You bet. That was Director Kelly at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. I'd like to let you know that next week we're going to learn about the warrant officers in the United States Air Force, and we'll hear how it impacts our Minnesota Air National Guard. And then we're also going to talk to the Claims Division at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Doug Wortham, your host on Minnesota Military Radio. I hope you have a productive week and you find a way to thank and honor those who have and those who continue to serve and sacrifice so we can enjoy the liberty and freedom this great country has to offer.